From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, July 12th. Coming up, we'll learn about how Indiana's Supreme Court decision on abortion may impact the country. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. University of Illinois researchers say air pollution from Canadian wildfires has a causal relationship with the labor market. And as Illinois Newsroom's May Antar reports, the smoke is likely to return to the state.
Don Wobbles is a professor emeritus at the University of Illinois and a former climate expert for the White House. He says wildfires have been increasing, especially in the West, but says the Midwest and the East will see more of it moving forward.
What do we expect for the future is that they're going to get even stronger. You know, we're going to see even more wildfires and bigger wildfires. So this will become a standard issue of concern.
Labor researchers estimate the negative impacts on employment could potentially get 5 to 10 times worse than their research indicates if conditions like this become the norm. I'm May Antar, Illinois Newsroom.
The fired head coach of Northwestern's football program, Pat Fitzgerald, maintains he did not know about hazing among his players. Lisa Phillip reports.
Initially, Northwestern president Michael Schill handed Fitzgerald a 14-day suspension. That came after a 6-month university investigation did not find evidence Fitzgerald knew of hazing on his team, but did find that he had significant opportunities to discover and report it. Schill ultimately decided to fire the coach after a former player told student journalists that Fitzgerald likely knew about the hazing. Two former players told the student newspaper that hazing included sexual violations. After his firing, Fitzgerald told ESPN he took great pride in his accomplishments during his 17 years as a coach and mentor. He's retained a former U.S. attorney to represent him. I'm Lisa Phillip.
Governor J.B. Pritzker issued a disaster proclamation yesterday to help 8 counties recovering from the severe thunderstorms and derecho 2 weeks ago. These counties include Coles, Sangamon, Cook, and others. Pritzker said they have exhausted their resources and need more state help. There were 5 confirmed tornadoes and wind gusts over 100 miles per hour across multiple counties in central Illinois on June 29th. 2 days later, more storms caused flash flooding in Chicago and outages in northern Illinois. The disaster proclamation went into effect yesterday and lasts a month. A key Senate committee is preparing to take up a bill next week called the Supreme Court Ethics, Recusal, and Transparency Act, or SCRT. It would require Supreme Court justices to follow a code of ethical standards. Our Washington, D.C. reporter, Linda Kenyon, has the story.
The bill comes after 2 conservative justices on the court accepted generous gifts from billionaires, some of whom later had business before the court. The chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, and Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island said Supreme Court justices should be held to the same standard as every other federal judge. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer agreed.
What we're seeing at the Supreme Court is a sickening hypocrisy.
He's referring to the Alaska fishing trip that Justice Samuel Alito accepted from Paul Singer, a longtime GOP donor. In addition, Justice Clarence Thomas accepted vacations and other expensive gifts from GOP mega donor Harlan Crow over the course of several years. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says this Democratic outrage is just politics.
The Supreme Court is not in crisis when it refuses to reliably and predictably advance Democrats' priorities.
He also said Congress has no right to meddle in the business of the Supreme Court because the judiciary is a co-equal branch of government. Chief Justice John Roberts says the court is policing itself, but the sponsors of the bill say it isn't. And since the court won't act, Congress will. In Washington, D.C., Linda Kenyon, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll learn about how Indiana's Supreme Court decision on abortion may impact abortion care in the Midwest and beyond. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
In the PBS series D.I. Ray, Detective Inspector Rachita Ray must deal with biases within her department while she investigates her first homicide. As she delves into the honor killing of a young Muslim man, Ray journeys into the shady world of organized crime. Ray is also forced to confront old wounds and the difficulties of being a British Asian policewoman. The four-part drama is available to stream on WILL Passport. Learn how you can watch this and other mysteries at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. Indiana is on track to have a near-total abortion ban next month following a state Supreme Court decision. The ban will have ripple effects that people in other states will feel soon. Side Effects Public Media's Farah Yousri speaks with reporter Morgan Watkins in Kentucky about how this will shape up abortion care in the Midwest and beyond.
So, Morgan, if I'm looking at the Midwest and the region around it on a map right now, what will I see in terms of the abortion law and access to care?
Well, abortion is almost entirely banned in Missouri, North Dakota, and South Dakota in the Midwest. Indiana will soon join them. Over in Ohio, abortion remains legal until about 22 weeks of pregnancy, but that's only because a 6-week abortion ban is temporarily blocked in court. It's possible Ohio could end up seeing that ban reinstated, just like Indiana's. And just to the south of Indiana, Kentucky has a near-total abortion ban. Abortion also is inaccessible in Wisconsin, while there is a court battle over whether an 1800s-era law is a legitimate and now effective abortion ban, following last year's Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. It's a tricky situation.
So it seems like Indiana may have been sort of like an abortion haven for some of the people in these states. What do the numbers tell us?
Well, the latest abortion numbers from the Indiana Department of Health show that Indiana actually saw an increase in the number of abortions performed there in 2022. And there was a significant increase in the number of people coming from out of state to access care in Indiana. I spoke with a few people at abortion funds, which help people afford abortions. They say they've seen that firsthand. Here's Jessica Marchbank of the Hoosier Abortion Fund.
For at least the last 6 months, at least 10% of the people that we've directly funded have been from Kentucky. A crucial access point to abortion care is about to be cut off.
In 2022, more than 1,500 people crossed state lines from Kentucky and Ohio to access care in Indiana. Some women came from other states, too, like Tennessee, Illinois, and Michigan.
Interesting. So we know people in Kentucky come to Indiana because, number one, there's an abortion ban in Kentucky, and two, Indiana is often the closest place. But why these other states?
Just because abortion is legal in states like Ohio, Illinois, and Michigan, that doesn't mean every resident who wants an abortion can get one in-state. And that's because abortion clinics are flooded with requests, including from people in states where abortion is banned. Here's what Allison Dreith of the Midwest Access Coalition told me.
It makes their wait times longer because the clinics are booking up appointments, you know, 2 or 3 weeks out. And then, of course, when we wait longer for abortion care, the price of the procedure becomes more expensive.
Plus, different states have different rules for how far along a pregnancy can be before abortion is prohibited. And some states have required waiting periods between when a patient meets with a healthcare provider to discuss terminating their pregnancy and when they actually can get an abortion.
Okay, so now that Indiana's abortion ban is on track to take effect in August, what would that mean for people in all these different states?
It would mean that women in states like Kentucky will have to travel further for a legal abortion or continue carrying a pregnancy they do not want. Then for the other states where abortion is legal, they'll be absorbing all this extra caseload coming from Indiana and all the other states that can no longer lean on Indiana for abortion care. That's likely to increase wait times and staff burnout. Here's Savannah Tribuna, who oversees the Kentucky Health Justice Network's Abortion Support Fund.
We're not just looking at Kentucky and Indiana relying on access states, but also most of the Deep South. Any ban on abortion has ripple effects, and it impacts everyone.
Indiana is about to join more than a dozen states that have outlawed most abortions over the past year. And that's a trend that's likely to continue.
Morgan, thanks so much for your reporting on this.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
That's Side Effects Public Media's Morgan Watkins. Side Effects is a regional reporting collaboration focused on public health.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms and a high of 86 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Lisa Phillip, Emily Hayes, Linda Kenyon, and Morgan Watkins. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.